We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That was the great Harry Douglas with a classic moment. I'm guessing Mark Owens is turning that into a promo that you will hear time and time again. Mm-hmm. We love having Harry Douglas in with us, man. Falcons legend, last 3 years with the Tennessee Titans, and now he's hanging and banging with us, man. And I want to ask the question, is Matt Ryan's contract already hurting us? Because if Matt Ryan gets a contract around $34, $35, $36 million per year, that is going to hurt us at that point that it is signed and all the years going forward. But is the D-Led of the AJC is reporting, as I drop a cough drop that Harry was talking about, that the contract extension negotiations with Ryan have hit a snag, and it's already sort of dragging along. And look, the Cousins piece has already happened, right? Breeze has already signed. Aaron Rodgers is not going to do anything until Matt Ryan has a contract, and then Aaron Rodgers will be north of what Matt Ryan makes. So I think that this is already hurting the Falcons. We're signing Logan Paulson. And I like the move. Blocking tight end is going to replace Toy Lolo.
Tough.
But instead of Jimmy Graham or Trey Burton, we're getting Logan Paulson. Instead of Andrew Norwell or Josh Sitton, we get Brandon Fusco. I'm just saying. So I think the Matt Ryan contract is already hurting the Falcons.
Listening to Thomas Dimitroff speak yesterday, and I know they were out at Georgia Pro Day, and there's a lot of sound that we've had from Thomas Dimitroff. You know, he kept saying, it's going to get done, it's going to get done. It's not a matter of when, it's or not a matter of if, it's when. When we talked to Thomas and DQ like a month and a half ago, it's like, all right, you guys know that free agency's coming, and your cap space is fairly limited. I'm wondering now, is this a Tom Condon scenario where he looked and said, all right, that guy got $28 million, and that guy got $84 million guaranteed, and Matt Stafford, one of Matt Ryan's best friends, got $91 million guaranteed. I'm not taking anything less than that, and that's kind of hamstrung what the Falcons are doing.
I mean, but you can't blame them. That's the business.
Right.
I mean, when you're a owner or a GM and you release guys, that's the business of it. But so when it comes to that money, man, the agent and the player are looking at it from the same standpoint.
I get that, Harry, but look, let's go to Spotrac and pull up Tom Brady's contract. Let's do that.
Let's pull up
Tom Brady's contract on Spotrac.com, because I've heard that, yeah, he moves money around and he does favors for the organization, but he still gets his money.
Well, he was
and
upset.
I don't necessarily agree with that. Like, is he getting Kirk Cousins' money?
No.
Is Tom Brady on an $84 million guaranteed contract over 3 years? I doubt that.
He took less money for them to sign Wes Welker.
Thank you.
And they didn't, so he was upset about that also.
You guys have heard of Tim Duncan, right?
Yep.
He's five on my all-time list. No, he's six. He's right behind Kobe Bryant. Tim Duncan, sixth best player of all time, in my opinion, took discount after discount after discount. Dirk Nowitzki, the last like 3, 4, 5 years ago, took a totally low-dough deal. Zach Randolph, to stay at Memphis, took a totally low-dough deal. Okay? These are guys that could have done the exact same thing you just said. Oh, man, I got to get mine. You know, you can cut players, and a guy gets hurt, and you cut him, and it's ruthless and cutthroat and all that. I got to get mine. They didn't.
I'll say this one thing, though. You want to know one thing that all those guys have over Matt Ryan? They're not going into year 11. They're going into year 13, 14, 15, 16. You know what I'm saying? So at that point in their careers, they probably did what Matt Ryan is doing right now. You know what I'm saying? So you got to give and take when your window can be open or closed.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Harry and John and I talk about it all the time. The window is wide the bleep open right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so why put the screws to your franchise right now? To me, this is an indicator of how bad Matt Ryan wants to win that ring. Okay, if winning the ring is everything, like it is to Brady, like it was to Kobe, okay, like it was to Michael Jordan, like it was to Joe Montana, if the ring is everything, then it will trump the money, and you will leave money on the table to win that ring. If you put the screws to the organization to get the most money you possibly can get without leaving anything on the table, that tells me that you are not invested in winning a ring.
You want to know one other thing I think his agent may be looking at? Building the team the Seattle way,
mm-hmm.
where you can pay your quarterback and dib and dab everywhere else on the team. So that may play a big part in it also.
Yeah, and
you see those guys went to Super Bowls.
Oh, yeah. Now, they were lucky early on because Russell Wilson was making no money.
Exactly.
When they started having to pay guys, all of a sudden the window closed quickly.
And that,
unfortunately, is what's going to happen here in Atlanta because, and we were talking off the air, Debo's contract's coming due. Grady Jarrett, he's going to get his. Vic Beasley's going to get his. Devondre Campbell, Keanu Neal. That's all your guys on the defensive side of the ball that are making peanuts relative to what the guys on the offensive side of the ball are making. I pulled up Tom Brady just to get an idea. You know, the first year they won a Super Bowl, he made $372,000. That's it. Now, he was a six-round pick. He's never made, at least according to Spotrac, more than $19.7 million on a season.
Tom Brady is not getting his money. Is not maxing what he can get. The most he's made is $19 million in 1 year, and you've got Kirk Cousins set to make $28 this year, and you've got Jimmy Garoppolo set to make $27.5 this year. Come on, man.
Is that Tom Brady or is that the Patriot way?
I think it's both.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Like, I think it's both, but look.
It's a give and take on both sides.
It is,
there.
But the Patriots aren't like, you know, threatening Tom Brady like, we're going to cut you. No, this is Tom Brady with a rock star wife with a mountain of money and a mountain of money that he has made. And he's, but again, it goes back to one thing. Do you want the ring or do you need the ring? Okay, Tom Brady needs the ring. I don't think Matt Ryan needs the ring.
That's the most important.
Maybe Ryan does need the ring. If we get the terms of this contract and it's more team-friendly than player-friendly, boom, there it is. Matty Ice, I love you. I'm ride or die. You need the ring. If Matty Ice takes every single dollar he can, then he just wants the ring, and then we're going to have a different conversation up in here.
But, Harry, you've played in the league and a guy that's gone through contract negotiations. Yep. There's a fine line between, all right, I want to help my team out, but your contract's not guaranteed. There's no guarantee that you're going to get every dime on there. Where is that line that's drawn between, I think I can help the team, but I still got to get mine?
Well, me, you looking at me, I'm a team guy. Mm-hmm. And you know, I want to win. The main thing, at this point in my career, I started playing football at 7, 8 years old.
Right.
And my goal is to win a ring. That's why I play the game. So, yeah, there was times where I took less money, my second contract, to actually stay in Atlanta. And it's a give and take, but if I would have went somewhere out west or somewhere in the Midwest, it would have evened out with cost of living and moving and people flying out to see games and stuff like that. So it was just best for me to stay home. But I will say this, when you're early in your career, man, and you don't know when you're going to get hurt or what's going to happen, because stuff happens all the time, you have to get your money. You have to get your money. That's why I don't hold a grudge against people who hold out to get their money, because you can be cut at any time. Or you can have a contract where you have your money is guaranteed in 2 or 3 years, and year 4 or 5, it's not. So you know you're getting cut after year 3.
Guys,
that's the side that people don't understand.
Correct me if I'm wrong. When Matt Ryan got his previous contract, he was, for a minute, the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
He was.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So, and look, he is going to, regardless if it's a team-friendly deal or a Ryan-friendly deal, he's going to get a mountain of money on this next contract. Okay? We're splitting hairs here. But so, to your point, and Harry, I get it, and it is different for quarterbacks and other position players.
Yes.
It definitely is. There's a much longer career and lifespan for the QBs. But Matt Ryan has already sort of gotten max dollar from the Falcons. He and his wife and family are on a mountain of money. I believe that he is in a position to leave some money on the table. And by the way, I did say this earlier, and I'll say it again. There are millions of people in Atlanta who are not Matt Ryan people. They just aren't. And they maybe never will be, short of winning a ring. So, Harry, to this point, And for a bunch of reasons, it makes sense for Matt to leave a little bit of money on the table for the sake of winning that ring. Also, I think it would improve his perception locally with a lot of the people that aren't Matt Ryan guys.
I agree 100%.
And so is that another reason why? And again, I'm not saying you leave $50 million on the table. Maybe you leave $5 to $10 million on the table to get a guy here and a guy there. And don't you think that would be good PR for Matt Ryan here in Atlanta?
It'd be great PR, but I'll tell you this. A big part of the reason why he might not be a 100% fan favorite is because the Vic era, you still have people here. Even with Matt going to the Super Bowl and having that MVP season, it doesn't matter. You still have those people who love and are going to cherish Michael Vick to the death of them. That's not going away. I don't care what you do. It's nothing you can. That's not going away.
Matt Ryan could win the Super Bowl, and there's still going to be people that don't like him.
And it's still going to be people in the stands with Vic jerseys.
Yeah, and that's how it is. I pulled up the cash earnings for Matt Ryan just to do a compare and contrast. And this is SpoTrack, so I don't know exactly how accurate this is, but they're normally pretty close. So in the cap hit, this is the cash earnings. He's only had 1 year cash earnings-wise where he's made over $16 million.
Who, Ryan?
Matt Ryan. Now, he had 1 year in 2014 because he had an option bonus and a restructure bonus. He made $36 million that year. Now, that's not the cap hit. That's the actual cash money. But every other year has been under $16 million, which is right in line with what Tom Brady's making.
Okay. So, A, I'm not going to feel bad for Matt Ryan and his family. It's a lot of money. B, we are going to give Matt a big old healthy raise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's going to get a major raise. How about $25 million a year? How about 4 years, $100 mil, all guaranteed? Guarantee the whole damn thing. No incentives and BS and Pro Bowls and Super. Just guarantee it. Here, $25 million a year. Take it or leave it. If he doesn't take that deal, I'm super mad at him. It's $100 mil guaranteed over 4 years. And guess what? At the end of that 4 years, you're going to get another contract that's even bigger than that. What's he going to be at that time, 36?
It's so funny, though, man, because I'm on both ends of it. I can see, like, the points on both from a player standpoint, from a fan standpoint. And it's just so crazy, man. It's crazy because, like I told y'all the other day, you look at the Drew Brees situation. The Saints had a hard time because Brees' contract, and they could not bring defensive guys in. But at the same time, I can see Matt Ryan's side. I'm a player.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have to get your money. But like you said, if do you want a ring or you need a ring? Me right now, Harry Douglas the fourth, I need me a ring.
So super quick, if Matt Ryan's contract averages out to $33 million a year, $34 million a year, $35 million a year, whatever it is, how many of our defensive studs are we going to have to say goodbye to?
A lot of them.
How many?
I'll say...
Two? One?
I'll say three or four.
So this... Three boom! It all comes back to that. So, Matt, you want to get all the money? You ain't winning a ring, bro. Because you need tacklers. You need guys that are covering and getting interceptions and housing an occasional pick six. Okay, to your point, didn't the New Orleans Saints have a legendary, historically awful defense for about a 3 or 4 year period?
And like a top two or three offense.
There you go.
That's crazy.
There you go.
Speaking of money, let's try to give away $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Still, STILL, text STILL right now to 72881. Again, STILL to 72881 from your cell phone. In Rick's scary movie, I would have to stay completely still so I wouldn't be the first casualty of war. That's your $1,000 national signing bonus contest word, STILL, STILL. Harry, I asked Rick yesterday, he was talking about making a scary movie, and I said, dude, I want to be in it. Will I live? And he goes, yeah, probably not. I'd be one of the first people dead.
And here was the rationale. Usually the first person that dies in a horror movie is the person that's out.
No, Rick. It's usually the black guy.
Yeah, let's be honest.
Let's be honest here. I'm not going to let you sit up here.
Call a spade a spade.
Usually the first person to die in a horror movie is the black guy.
I can't disagree. It seems like that's the way it rolls. But if it's not that, then it's usually that guy that's grinding everybody and pranking everybody and telling jokes and just being sort of that guy and whoosh, he usually gets whacked early on.
That would be all three of us.
Yeah.
All three of us would be the first. We would be the first three dead at any horror movie.
Well, I know if Harry's there,
well,
I'll at least die.
Me, because I'm the black guy.
You'll die first. I'll die second because I'm blackish. So I'm out second. Rick will live
so
for
funny.
A while because normally the white preppier guy, he lives. And you go, how is this guy living? He's not athletic. He's jumping over the trees. The killer catches Harry Douglas, who runs a 4.340. It's ridiculous.
Not only that, you have the white girl who is in. Who's there? Is someone there? Listen, if I hear a noise, I'm not. I always tell my wife when we hear something in our house, hey, don't be saying nothing. Be quiet.
Right. I gotta.
Won't make no noise now.
You know what my wife loves to do? She'll go, I heard something in the basement. Go look. Mm-mm. What did Dave Chappelle say? Mm-mm. I am not going down there.
You know how I'm sitting in my room.
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting for it to come on through.
Now you open the door, you're getting blasted.
Hey, listen.
It's pretty simple.
Bye-bye.
I love it, man.
We had another conversation yesterday. We'll hear some Thomas Dimitroff cuts coming up in the NFL Bounce. Street meat. We were talking about eating street meat. Now, do you know what street meat is, Harry? We're talking about meat from a vendor cart.
Pork,
like somebody's
chicken,
out there. They're putting together a Philly cheesesteak on the side of the road. Are you eating street meat?
I had a bad experience, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day when I used to club, not a lot, but You know, I used to club.
Yeah, we all did.
And I ate some, I can't remember what it was. It may have been a hot dog back when I ate hot dogs. And when I mean the next 3 days, I was so sick, throwing up everywhere. And my wife told me, she was like, that's what you get for eating food outside the club. So
and
never,
it only
never again.
And it only takes one episode.
One time.
And you're out.
I've never eaten it since.
I'm not a street meat guy. John is.
Oh, I'll eat anything.
Go figure another disagreement with us, right?
We see.
Hey, Mark, wow! That is two fat jokes in 3 days. Somebody sent me one of these 10-day cleanses. Paul and I were talking. I said, dude, I won't make 2 days of eating like ground-up vegetables. That's disgusting. We'll hear from Thomas Dimitroff next. What did he say at Georgia Pro Day? Also, Lamar Jackson. There's somebody that says he could surprise. Talk about that as well on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
With your boys, Rick Kamla, John Michaels, Harry Douglas, longtime Falcon, three-year contract with the Tennessee Titans, and now he is here with us. And if you need a wideout, you can call his agent, Todd France, and hook it up. Get it going. I want to talk about a couple of Falcons items, and then let's move on to the rest of the league. Do you like, Harry, I like the Logan Paulson signing. And I haven't even, there's been so much going on this show with interviews. I want John to opine on this as well. Do you like the Logan Paulson signing at tight end? Does it make sense to you?
I do. He's a gritty guy, a guy that can block and get that running game going. Would I have liked to have seen a more of a receiving tight end? Yes, but you can't overdo it and you can't overpay for it. Especially with the things that we were talking about earlier, the contracts and how things go. But I like it. I think he's going to solidify a good, strong point on that offensive line on the end, blocking.
He has played under Kyle Shanahan in Washington, played for Kyle Shanahan last year in San Francisco. And it's funny, the Falcons are now finding guys that go, wait a second, that Kyle Shanahan offense seemed to work. Let's find guys that fit there. So I like it. You're basically paying $4 million less for a blocking tight end than you were paying for Levine Toilolo. So it's okay. I mean, it's not a move that's earth-shattering, but it's exactly what you need. I still hope they draft a tight end somewhere in the first couple of rounds.
And that's the exact next question I had for Harry Douglas. I also want to talk about Javon Wims, and then we'll move around. But I love Gesicki. Love him. I think he's Jimmy Graham 2.0. He's a little shorter than Jimmy Graham, but he's got the vertical that I think would make up that difference. I think Mike Gesicki out of Penn State at the end of the second round for our Falcons, giddy up. Because I don't think the Falcons are done. I don't think they're like, we got Hooper, we got Paulson, we got Saubert, and we're good. I don't think that's how they're thinking. I think they want a nice tight end from this draft. Who would you want it back into the second round?
I'll say the guy from Penn State. I actually had the luxury of watching. I think it may have been a game against Ohio State where it was crucial times in the ball game where they went to him as the number one option. They didn't go to Saquon Barkley. They were looking for him. And he made a lot of catches, a lot of jump ball catches, where he just out-muscled the linebacker, or sometimes they put a safety on him because he was so athletic. So I actually like that pick.
And yeah, that's Gesicki. He's a ball player. He's a big dude. He's run really well. He jumped really high. I just don't know if they're going to take somebody now in the second round. That's when you look at it and you go, all right, we've got three guys there. And granted, Saubert's expendable. They can cut him tomorrow, and I'm not sure that a lot of people would miss him. But do you draft a guy in the second round? And a lot of times they only dressed two tight ends last year. Will they start dressing three tight ends?
Who knows? But I would bet a significant amount of equity or whatever, wampum, whatever, that they take a tight end in this draft and that they're not done.
What was that you're betting?
Wampum. It's just, I don't know. I think Indians used to trade it back in the day from history books.
Like a wooden nickel?
But if you take those guys, man, these guys have to play special teams.
Yeah.
You can't just come in, I'm playing tight end, and that's it. You have to contribute to special teams 100%.
Now, the Georgia Pro Day was yesterday, and all the guys were out there. Lorenzo Carter, Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, all the beasts were out there, including Javon Wims, who had a breakout season last year with the Dogs, a lot of back shoulder throws by Jake Fromm to him, and really had a helpful season for the team. Javon Wims is on the NFL's radar. Javon Wims will be drafted. John was talking about him the other day, and the Falcons either have or will interview Javon Wims. So what are we talking about here, Harry? A, do you like him? Do you think he fits with what the Falcons have going on? And would you look at Wims as like a sixth or seventh round guy? Or do you think he could be like a fourth round guy?
I'll take him in the fourth or fifth round because, number one, he's that big prototype receiver that guys are looking for now. And like we said earlier, Sanu plays a lot in the slot. And you needed another guy on the outside, a guy that can – the only thing that I didn't like about Javon Wims is that against press coverage, I felt like he got pushed around a lot, but that's because that college boundary.
Mm-hmm.
The college boundary is terrible to me. I wish they'd get rid of it and have the hashes like the NFL, because you have no room to work with as a receiver if somebody's pressing you. But he's strong, his physicality. I like how he goes up and get the ball.
6'4", 215 pounds. CBS Sports has him as the 140th best prospect. So that falls right in line, fourth, fifth round. Now, the Falcons don't have a fifth rounder. I don't know if I spend a fourth on him, but maybe you make a move to try to get back and get a fifth rounder. Thomas Dimitroff was out there yesterday, and Thomas Dimitroff talked about Georgia and all their battle-tested players.
Yeah, that's a big thing. I mean, obviously Georgia comes to the table with a lot of really good athletes and athletes that can thrive on a big stage. We've got a chance to see that this year. I was talking to Coach Kirby, and we were talking about everything that went on last year on both sides, on our side and on his side. And, he was just talking about how his team continued to grow and really grew through that whole experience, of course.
And that's what you get. You now have guys that have gone through a college football playoff. They've gone through winning an SEC title, going to the playoffs, winning a playoff game, and getting to a national title game. So you'd love to get a Roquan Smith, a Nick Chubb, an Isaiah Wynn, a Sony Michel, any of those guys. Those guys are ball players. They've been through, firing a coach, hiring a new coach, a down season in the first year, and then all of a sudden they rebound last year.
Harry, I'm guessing here, it's educated speculation, but Lorenzo Carter was a buzz guy at the Combine. He was a buzz guy at Georgia's Pro Day. And we were talking yesterday, okay, TD, Dimitroff's there, 32 total representatives from the Falcons, scouts and internal people and all that stuff were there, hanging out, commiserating, and watching guys play football. And to me, I think they had their eye on, I don't really necessarily think they're looking at Michelle and Chubb when you have Freeman and Coleman. I think they were looking at Lorenzo Carter. Do you agree?
Well,
and do you like Lorenzo Carter?
Chubb is not a fit for the way that, for the stretch game, the running game that the Falcons run, but there's a great possibility they can be looking for a Carter as they want to shore up the line and linebacker position. You got, like I said,
so is he a hand in the dirt guy, or is he a stand on the edge linebacker guy, Lorenzo Carter?
You can make him versatile. That's one thing that New England does a great job of. When we played them, it's not like they're 3-4 or they're 4-3. They mix things up so well, and that's what make their players so good. Like, they didn't have a big name on their line this year, but they made noise in the playoff because they do so many different things, and you have to practice and scheme for it.
Here's more Thomas Dimitroff talking about what he looks for at Pro Day.
Just trying to see the athletic ability, the movement. We're an athletic-driven team. We want to see how guys move around, see how they handle their business. That's a big thing. If they, adhere to instruction properly and, you like to see how they interact with their players, their teammates as well in this setting.
Hey, Harry, read between the lines on what Dimitroff said there with how guys handle their business.
Off the field issues. Are you a pro? You have to be a pro's pro. You have to do things the right way. You shouldn't have to be begged to come to work every day. You should want to come to work every day because, like I said, the game could be taken away from you at any moment. So you need to approach it that way. So they're not into the babysitting. We're not, and I'm a fan of it because I don't like to babysit.
Who needed to be babysit when you were a Falcon?
There was a few people, but I'm not going to say it.
Come on.
Not just a Falcon.
Give me a position group.
No, man. You know snitches get stitches. I'm from the South
you're
Side.
You're not snitching on anybody. You're
from the South. We talked about the South Side the other day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did.
Don't have the people not liking me on the South Side because I'm up here snitching on 92.9.
Oh, so it was somebody from the South Side who was a Falcon who needed his hand held through all the stuff.
Look,
I'm the only person from the South Side. Well, in Shock.
Yeah.
Shock didn't need his hand.
Shout out to Shock, man.
One time for your boy.
That's my dude. DJ is my guy. By the way, trade happens in the NFC South. Jason Pierre-Paul coming to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Third and fourths were swapped in that scenario. The Giants give up Jason Pierre-Paul. Does this mean the Giants are taking Bradley Chubb now at number two?
No, because you'd be an idiot to take Bradley Chubb at number two. An idiot. You take quarterbacks at the top of the draft. What they have done is position themselves to trade back in the draft and maybe get a Bradley Chubb at four or five or wherever. Let's go around the room. I think it would be lunacy for them to take Bradley Chubb with the second overall pick when you've got all these teams. We mentioned it. Arizona at 15, Buffalo at 12, Miami at 11, the New York Jets at 3, I think that's about it. But you got teams that need quarterbacks, man. I am not taking Bradley Chubb with the second overall pick, and I love Bradley Chubb. I think he's the best defensive player in this draft, but so that's my take. I think they're – If Cleveland takes Darnold, the Giants are taking Saquon Barkley number two. I've been thinking that the whole way.
But you know the funny thing about it all? The Giants need a quarterback, and the Giants need O-linemen. It's hard to – you have Eli. Eli got beat up last year. Mm-hmm. You draft a quarterback, he's going to get beat up if you don't address that they need O-linemen. So you can take Barkley or you can take Chubb, but it's not going to help your team in my eyes.
Now, did they sign – was it Nate Solder signed there?
Correct.
So they've got their left tackle.
Well, you need more than one.
I think they're moving Eric Flowers' bum behind over to the right side. He's a Miami guy. I hate to talk bad about him, but he is terrible. Now you're a top 10 pick, and they're just ready to get rid of you. I'm looking back, Rick, top 10 draft choices by position. All the way back to 2011, there has been a defensive lineman drafted in the top 10. Garrett, number one in 17, and you had Solomon Thomas at number three. Back in 16, you had Joey Bosa and DeForest Buckner going in the top seven. You had Leonard Williams in 2015. You had Jadeveon Clowney in 2014, 2013. You go, oh, God, they had Deion Jordan went number three and Zeke Ansah. But the Dolphins, in shocking fashion, messed up a draft choice. But point being, there's always a top five defensive lineman.
Look, I think Bradley Chubb's a top five guy. I just wouldn't take him at number two. That's all I'm saying. I think he's a top five, top six guy. I just wouldn't take him with the second overall pick.
Especially with what the Giants need.
Mm-hmm. They need everything.
But you can't be productive on offense if you don't protect the quarterback or if you don't have a quarterback.
Would you take Quentin Nelson then, the number one guard at two, or is that too high for a guard?
Too high.
I'm taking a quarterback.
Okay.
It's too high.
So you'd go QB no matter what. Let him sit a year and –
If I'm them, I'm not even taking Saquon Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
I am taking a quarterback.
Interesting.
Because Eli's not going to be there for him.
But Harry, they have said, okay, and who knows what's actually the truth, but Pat Shurmur and whoever else is in charge out there have said, we think Eli Manning's got three or four good years left. I tend to agree with that. Everybody's dumping on Eli Manning. Oh, it's declining skills, all this kind of stuff. Everybody forgets that you lost Odell Beckham, Brandon Marshall, David Wright, I believe that's his name. The last guy standing was Sterling Shepard. Yep. And Sterling Shepard was on and off hurt the entire season. He literally had nobody to throw to. Nobody. Like we talk about the NBA. He had G Leaguers to throw to. Okay? And people are dumping on Eli Manning. Get him a cast of characters and see what he does. I'm not ready to shovel dirt on Eli Manning yet.
We gotta look up and find out how many years did Aaron Rodgers sit behind Brett Favre?
Three or four.
Listen. Yeah. I don't understand why people don't try to mimic that. You see what Aaron Rodgers is. I would draft a quarterback, have him sit 2 years behind Eli, 2 or 3 years behind Eli, and then I let him do his thing because you can learn so much in those years.
I think the only problem is, especially, and Rodgers was a 22nd overall somewhere in there. I think the problem is teams in the top 10, their fan bases are going, we can't draft Josh Rosen and have him sit till 2022. And I know it's not all about the fans, but –
I'm with John on this one. I see what you're saying, Harry. I need instant gratification if I'm a Giants fan. I need help now.
Hey, you know what I need? I need people to come hang out with me tonight. Hammerhead Seafood and Sports Grill off Peachtree Industrial Boulevard in Suwannee. We'll be there from 5 to 7. We're watching college basketball. We're giving away some tickets. It's our Ball and Brew Takeover presented by Bud Light, famous among friends. I am going to knock down some grilled shrimp. I hope they have some crab legs there. As a matter of fact, I'm going to look at Hammerhead's menu right now. We come back. It's From the Bible with the Preacher Man. Sure, we got stuff. Research material. I've got a bunch of names for them. That's next.
Sports Radio.
Hey, we are back in the Kia Studios, and it is the Preacher Man's time to shine. Shout out to Harry Douglas. He is with us for a couple hours here. He'll be with us till the end of the show. We got Coach Bud coming up at 1:20. But right now, Preacher Man, the floor is yours, my friend.
Thank you, Rickster. From the Bible is brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770-4-FLOODS, Dunn Waterproofing. One thing we do from the Bible, we do updates. Yesterday, we did a story about Bills. Zay Jones, well, apparently his father has spoken. He says that his son is doing fine after his meltdown. He was released from custody early this morning, and he's due back in court next month.
Harry, has there ever been a time where you and your brother were butt naked fighting each other?
Never.
Okay.
How about in a hotel room, buck naked, and one of you guys putting your foot through some glass and creating a huge cut on your leg?
Never. Me and my brother, we only fought one time our entire life.
So was there ever a time that you fought anybody butt naked?
No, definitely not.
Maybe some late night hot yoga. But Harry, in terms of But in terms of your bro, okay, tell us the story. Like, how old were you? What was the fight about? And who won?
I'll tell you how old we were. I'm not going to tell you what the fight was about. It was actually our, it was my second year in the league and his rookie year in the league. And Big Bro just had
So you're both pros right now.
Big Bro had
Tony's
to
in the
bro.
NBA. Yep. You're in the This is so insane. I thought you were going to say, we were 14 in the driveway and, you know, he hit me in the side of the head with a basketball. So you were both pros? All right, tell me more.
A big brother had to be a big brother. And when I see my brother, you know what I mean, not necessarily doing right, that's when I step in and be a big brother.
Okay. So Harry, the older brother to Tony, what was Tony doing to get you?
Didn't I just say I wasn't going to say that?
Rick will just keep prying.
Okay, so hold on.
Like my damn daughter. Don't listen.
Hold on. Your daughter. Why? But why? Kids ask why all the time. It's great. You got to ask questions to get smarter. Who won the fight?
Who won the fight?
Huh?
I won the fight.
Okay.
I like how Harry
he's staring me down.
Yeah, he sized you up.
But it's so funny, man, because me and my brother, man, we're best friends. And, like, I'll say, like, 20 minutes after, like, we made up, and he was like, no, you're right, man. Like, I appreciate you being a big brother. I look up to you, and I'm thankful for you.
Punches thrown the whole thing?
Come on, Rick.
I need details.
Like my daughter, bro.
Right. He's going to pry.
Apple? No, you can't
Did anybody?
Juice? No, water
did
and milk.
Did you pick Tony up like Hulk Hogan and body slam him on concrete?
We both got some good licks in.
Okay. See, that was good. We got it.
There
finally.
Got some good licks in.
My cat does the same thing. He'll just stand on the thing because we give him treats and he's meow, meow. No, you can't have treats. He'll meow to you. Go, okay, I'm just going to give you stupid treats. I'm just done. Rick is now Thomas the cat.
I like it.
Preacher man, what else we got back there?
All right, we'll go ahead and give Ben Simmons the Rookie of the Year award right now because the NBA star has finally gone Instagram official with smoking hot pop star Tinashe. Is that how you say your name?
Tinashe.
Tinashe.
How do you spell that?
T-I-N-A-S-H-E, I think.
Slower, yes, bro. I'm
can
not
we,
that
can
smart.
Can we play something that she sings? Can we play something?
Tin, T-I-N.
T-I-N.
Ash, A-S-H-E.
Tinashe.
I think it's Tinashe.
So as previously reported by TMZ,
that's how she pronounces it.
She called Simmons her little boo thing. Well, it appeared that things have heated up since then, and the couple have posted identical pics on IG. Simmons captioned his romantic pic with this clever line, "This is a dime I can't pass."
She's all right.
Harry. Well, see, Harry, he's afraid that his lovely wife is listening, so he's not even going to opine. And by the way, I'm really soft on that. She's hot.
Hey now.
She's hot. Dime? I don't know. Personally, I think Ben Simmons could do a little bit better than this.
Well, you got to understand this. Okay, looks are only important to a certain extent, mm-hmm. Okay? You have to go
like
with the
99
lady. Let me soften
extent?
My voice up, Rick, as we listen to the music. You have to go with the person who's going to treat you right. You have to go with the person who's not going to dig in your pockets.
True.
You have to go with the person when it's time to get down and dirty.
Mm-hmm.
She's ready at all times. Chris Brown said, if you stay ready, baby, you don't have to get ready.
Harry Douglas on the late night special here on V103.
Dude, you are doing it today, man. Yeah, look, she's attractive. But that's not... I got about an 8 on that, John. How about you?
You know my skill is a lot tougher than yours.
I give her a 7.
Yeah, she's a 6.5, 7
okay.
for me.
Okay.
She's all right.
Preacher man, where's she at on your 10-point scale?
2 fingers.
Preacher man's like, 12!
Means he'd cut off 2 fingers.
No, he likes the big booties. She doesn't have big enough booty for a preacher man.
Yeah, she's probably like a 6 or 7.
My man. That's what I'm talking about. My man.
Preacher man, what else we got back there other than Tinashe?
All right, so this is for Rick. His boy, Colin, what do you call him?
Who are we talking about? Pardon me?
Your favorite sports talk show host?
Oh, I think we've just gone back. Robin Blowhard, Colin Cowherd. Yeah.
Well, apparently back in October, Robin Blowhard tweeted out that the Philadelphia 76ers to abandon the process. He also predicted that they were not going to win 40 games. After the Sixers won their 40th game, your boy Joel Embiid, who loves Twitter, he clapped back, as they say. Colin Cowherd, coach deserves a lot of credit, hashtag 40 wins, hashtag the process.
So he didn't really take a shot. He just reminded Colin Cowherd of what he said.
Oh, that's a shot.
It is a shot, but do you think that dude out in L.A. who throws stupid, silly hot takes against the wall and hope they stick cares? He doesn't. He's keeping it moving.
No, his ego's big enough where he just, whatever, I got one wrong. In the list of, like, thousands that he's gotten wrong, and he keeps going.
Tell him.
I'm telling y'all, man, those Sixers, man, if they can get two guys who are bona fide scorers, they're going to be dangerous.
What are you talking about?
The Sixers.
Well, you got J.J. Redick, a knockdown three-point shooter.
More athletic.
No, I get it. But
younger.
Okay. All right. He's got it unlocked, John. Let's give it.
Well, you can read between the lines also. John did also.
Yeah, I did. I'm going to keep that one moving.
I'm just thinking about Philly. You got Redick who can score. You got Saric who can score. You got Ben Simmons. He can't score with the J, but he can score with the drive.
Not
you got Joel Embiid.
Bonafide jump shot, as in I'm giving this ball to this guy when the game's on the line.
Well, I mean, how many of those guys are there on planet Earth? Five or six?
So find
like,
one of them.
Of who you're talking about, that's Curry, that's Durant, that's Westbrook, that's Harden, that's the best of the best.
With all those guys being so young in Philly, you can have the cap space to find one of those guys.
All right.
They say Markelle Fultz to figure out his shot and get his shoulder
right.
Yeah,
if his confidence gets
back. What is your take on that from afar?
Listen, it don't matter. Listen, I could drop 10 balls. My confidence, I'm going to still talk you know what to you as if I caught 10 balls. So my confidence could never be shot. I mean, call it cocky, call it whatever you want to call it. I'm just a confident guy. And I don't understand how a shooter could ever lose his confidence. I don't understand that.
There was never a jump shot I was going to pass up. So, and you go 0 for 20, guess what? The next one might go in. I might knock them down the next 10. Just keep it going. Just shoot the J.
Take that punk.
Shoot the J. Preacher man, shoot it.
All right. Apparently, Johnny Manziel is expected to be the quarterback throwing to receivers at University of San Diego's Pro Day Thursday morning, according to SI. Wait,
who's Pro Day?
San Diego.
University of San Diego.
How many pro prospects are at the University of San Diego?
Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, who didn't go to the University of San Diego.
And he's really not even a pro prospect.
You know the mascot for the University of San Diego?
I don't.
Me neither. I just was wondering.
I don't. Oh, by the way, I did read this super quick. So the owner of the Browns, the GM of the Browns head coach Hugh Jackson, all at Sam Darnold's pro day. The buzz was that the Browns are going to take Sam Darnold number one overall. Just saying. Just want to put that out there. Mm-hmm. We got a little juice box bet, Barry, on the number one pick. So just put it out there.
That's fine. Yeah, that's the smoke screen. They're just putting the smoke screen out there.
He's so salty right now, though. John, why are you so salty?
I have won, let's just say, how many juice box bets have we had? 5, 10?
I have no idea.
I am on the winning side of more than I've lost, so I'm not mad.
That he is. See, I get wrangled into a lot of these juice box bets just because of, like, I went to Minnesota. I don't actually think they're going to win, but then I get wrangled into the bet. And then, of course, they poop the bet again, and we now have research material.
Before we do that, you can research Mark Owens at 92.9 The Game at Carriage Kia in Woodstock this Saturday, 10 to noon. It's a meet and greet with Atlanta baseball alumni Terry Pendleton and Ron Gant. You can stop by for a chance to win cool prizes, including an autographed Kent Bazemore jersey, a 4-pack of tickets to see the Hawks take on the 76ers, and WWE Raw tickets. Who is the Raw research material right now?
Today is the College Babes.
What could possibly go wrong with an Instagram page called The College Babes? We'll research that next. We'll talk about UGA's Pro Day. Here's some from Sony Michel, who was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday on Sports Radio 92.9.
And we welcome you back, you, to the Kia Studios. Shout out to everybody in town for the NCAA Tournament Sweet 16 tonight. K-State fans, Kentucky fans, Loyola Chicago fans, and Nevada fans, welcome to Atlanta. You are listening to the greatest sports radio show in all of the land, the Midday Show with Rick and John. We throw a little party. We got our guy Harry Douglas sitting in, longtime NFL wide receiver. And let's check in with our Vision Computer Twitter poll.
You know, what do we do on Fridays? We let you, the fans, we let you pick the music, our bumper music on Fridays. And Vision Computer, an average hold time of for support is less than 15 seconds. So our Vision Computer Twitter poll for today is, what are we going to play tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be songs from the band list?
Okay.
Which include Dave Matthews, Bon Jovi, Bruce Springsteen.
All right. Creed.
The Beatles.
Creed, the Beatles.
Nickelback. Did you forget Bon Jovi?
No, he said Bon Jovi.
Okay.
Is it going to be bands and artists that represent the ATL? So we'll go across all genres for that.
Okay.
Little Outkast.
Little Outkast.
Mastodon. They're from Atlanta.
Mastodon.
Yeah.
Zach Brennan, we'll throw it all in there. How about the Elite Eight of album sales? Now, that's not doing very well in the polls because I don't think people realize what it is. The Elite Eight of album sales.
It's going to be all the Eagles, isn't it?
It is the
And Taylor
top
Swift.
8 artists when it comes to Billboard sales of all time.
Okay, who would that be? Eight,
that would be the Eagles, Led Zeppelin, Garth Brooks, Elton John, Madonna, Michael Jackson, Elvis, and the Beatles.
Hold on. Led Zeppelin?
Yeah.
I love Led Zeppelin.
That's number 7.
Led Zeppelin made that list?
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
The most album sales of all time. That's why
huge.
It's the elite.
But the Beatles and Michael Jackson are toward the bottom?
No. Beatles are number 1.
Oh, okay.
Elvis number 2, Michael Jackson number 3.
Oh, Madonna, you just had them in no particular order.
Well, no, I had them 8 down. So starting at number 8.
Oh, okay.
Eagles
were 8?
Eagles, Led Zeppelin, Garth, Elton John, Madonna, Michael Jackson, Elvis, and the Beatles.
Okay.
And by
the way,
that's
a good list to be on right there.
And that's why it's not doing very well in the voting right now, only 6%, but a little more clarification. So the elite 8 of album sales. And you're finally, House Trance and EDM. Boy, it almost won last week.
What's winning right now?
Well, winning right now
Band,
with 43%. Band Band had the early lead, but representing the ATL has now made a resurgence at 43%. But we got the pull up right now at Rick and John 929. And let me tell you real quick, the Beatles, just remember that name as one of the most or one of the best all time selling albums artists, according to Billboard. Did you get that? That made no sense.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you just said.
Let me try that again. Hold on, let me try that again. Remember the Beatles as one of the top selling artists of all time, and they're on the Band Band list.
Wow, right, so right, just, because they're overrated.
But just remember that it may come up again tomorrow at about 11:40.
Ah, that's kind of a precursor to win some money.
Remember that.
Did you hear me talking yesterday at the auto show with John about how the Beatles poll that I put up on my personal Twitter account, I think the Beatles are overrated. I don't think their music's timeless. And so I put it out there. It was 50-50. Okay, that 50 people said they're overrated, 50 people said that they're not. 50% of the people said they're not. Right down the middle.
Well, that means they're overrated. If it's 50-50 and that's the debate, that means they're overrated.
I like it.
Because
for the
win. Because if you ask that same question about Michael Jackson and Madonna, that's not going to be 50-50.
No, it's going to be like 90-10.
Exactly.
Yep. So, Emma, what do you make of Beatles being 50-50 in terms of being overrated on my Twitter?
On your Twitter account, that makes sense. We put the same thing up on the Rick and John 929 account, and it was like 64% of our fans said that they are overrated.
Yeah. And there's 63% on my poll that say, hell yeah, they'll eat street meat. 37% are with you guys, germaphobes that say no. Mark and
those are the smart ones, though.
Mark and I are looking for a golf cart with a grill on the back right about now. Pull on up here to Colony Square and sling me some meat.
Whoa.
By the way,
street meat.
By the way,
and some lunch too.
The College Babes on Instagram, giddy up.
Oh,
all
no,
I'm saying,
I can't. Do that. I can't.
I'm not talking
that.
To you.
I can't have
I'm
that
talking
in my search
to
history.
The masses.
You can't have that in the browser.
But he looked at me.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You better look it up, Harry. I can't have that in my search history, Rick. Sorry.
Did you pull up The College Babes on Instagram?
Next question.
It's for the show, honey.
Yeah.
I promise.
There's lots
Here's,
of.
You know the funny thing, Harry, and my wife doesn't care. She knows that she listens to the show all the time. We laugh and
Hi,
joke.
Hi, Rania.
Literally 2/3 of my Instagram, the people that I follow are from research material. And she goes, really, do you have to follow all of them? Because I'll be in the car and I'll pop up Instagram and our kids are in the backseat and it's like thong G-string, you know, hot Latin women, thong G. And I'm like, I probably need to delete some of these.
Flesh.
How many
flesh.
Boys do you have?
2. Kane's in the back seat looking over my shoulder going.
You got to teach him early, baby.
Yeah.
You got to teach him early.
He's like, Dad, what is that?
Yeah.
That's not Spider-Man.
I just told him, don't trust
or Black
the big
Panther.
Button.
What is that?
Is that Spider-Thong?
Kane, again, you cannot trust a big butt and a smile. Just letting you know. You can't trust a dog and a smile.
Pro
though.
Day, baby.
Woo.
Hey, good get by Dukes and Bell, man. A little Sony Michelle action yesterday. So let's hear from Sony, man. All right, what do we want to hear from here first?
Yeah, let's start with some positive. Walking us through the final touchdown and the final play of the Rose Bowl.
Mm.
Scored a touchdown earlier on a direct snap. Now it's Michelle's turn, running all the way. Gets to the edge. Sony Michelle will send the Dogs home to the championship game.
The whole ultimate mindset was just, you know, execute the play. We know what the play was called. We just wanted to execute it. As I was running the play, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, getting positive yards. Just get positive yards, move the sticks, get it going. And as I was just running, you know, I seen a lane. I seen my guys blocking. Everybody executed their assignment. And, you know, it was just kind of wide open for me. And I just hit the hole. And, you know, I was next thing you know, I was in the end zone.
Did you see Fromm out there blocking for you?
Oh, yeah. He was out there blocking for me. And there was no doubt in my mind that he wasn't going to give me his best effort.
I love it, man. Again, shout out to Duke Sumbel. Great job with that interview. We're going to hear more cuts here in a second. Harry, I was thoroughly unimpressed with Sony Michel at the combine. Dude's dropping balls. Dude was slower than we thought he was going to be. I'm a fan, but I'm not as big of a fan as I was. And you watch, it's one thing to have a gaping hole and streak into the end zone against Oklahoma. I don't see that translating to the NFL necessarily.
Well, I actually think he is the second best back in the draft. I'll say tied for second behind, is it Geis?
Hold on a second. You think you have him tied with Darius Geis?
Yes.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm
Do you need to pee in a cup?
No, but listen, let me ask you this. So in the game against Oklahoma, Georgia went to Sonny Michel instead of Chubb, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they do the same thing against Alabama, they win the game.
I would agree with that.
Yep.
But we are – I totally agree with that. But we are now translating to the NFL. Didn't he run a 4.56?
He doesn't have to.
Why not?
See, too many people are caught up on what's his 40 time, what's this. He has football speed. Football speed and 40 speed are two different speeds.
Mm-hmm, I get it.
Devin Hester didn't run a 4.2 or 4.3. But Destin Hester and Tyreek Hill, two of the fastest players I've ever seen all time.
Okay, so there's a difference then between that football speed you're talking about, which I totally get. Terrell Owens, to me, had that. Okay,
yes.
Like if there was a guy right next to him and he had the rock and saw the end zone, bye. You're not catching T.O. And I don't think he had the greatest 40 time of all time. But there's difference between that football speed in college and that football speed in the NFL. And well, I'm just not sure that all those straight line runs right down the field are going to happen in the NFL.
What did Devontae Freeman run in the 40?
I don't know.
4.5, 4.6.
My point
there.
Exactly. It depends on where you go, what running scheme that you're in. If you're in the zone read scheme where you can press, and then stick your foot in the ground and get downhill, he's perfect. But if you're just trying to run him in between the tackles, he's not that kind of back. He has to be in a zone scheme, running scheme.
Interesting. You've got him right there with Darius Geis.
Yes.
Are you a Ronald Jones Jr. fan?
No.
Out of USC?
No.
Why are you not a fan?
He's too little.
Okay. Are you sure about that?
Devontae ran a 4.58.
He has to go to
4.58 in the 40.
But again, Devontae is not a speed guy. He's a make you miss guy. He's a run you over guy. He's a super competitive guy, great at catching the rock.
But he will pull away from
him. And he's quick, but he does not have that home run speed. He does not have that. That'd be very infrequently do you watch Devontae Freeman separate from everybody and he's gone to the 30, the 25, the 20, the 15, 10, 5, touchdown. I don't know if I've seen that too much from Devontae Freeman.
But I've never seen anybody catch him from behind either like that.
Jerry Rice, and there's all kind of allegations. He was like a 4.5, 4.6 guy in the 40. But yet Jerry Rice would catch that slant. I don't care if you were Deion Sanders behind him, you weren't catching
him. Can we just get rid of the combine?
Yes, I agree. It's so stupid.
Because if a player's a player, why do I need to know how fast he runs? You have the film. The film should be able to tell you enough what you need to know.
When
one day at a combine should not have a player's stock drop or rise.
When is the last time you were playing football that you were in some draws running full speed 40 yards?
You mean the meat market?
Yeah, never. That never happens on a football field. There's never a time that you disrobe and get down to some draws and a tight shirt and go out there and try to run 40 yards straight.
That's just like these guys who squat and damn near have their butt touching their ankles. That's not even a football position. You're hardly ever past 90 degrees when you're in a football position.
Yeah, my butt doesn't touch my ankles ever.
I don't have that range of motion. I can tell you that right now. Harry, we're going to hear more from Michel. I want to get this in before we run out of time here. We had a conversation off the air about Javon Wims.
Yes.
The Falcons have interviewed him or will interview him. 6'4", 215 out of Georgia. You guys know the whole thing. I'm not super crazy about this news. There's other wide receivers that I've scouted out that I think add a lot more zip to us than him. And you talked to me about how you didn't think he was a perfect fit for the Atlanta Falcons. Tell the people.
If you look at, I'll say, the 49ers, the Falcons, and the Rams, look at all three of those offenses. Look at the type of receivers that they have. Atlanta is an exception because they have Julio and Sanu. But Julio is fast, quick. Sanu is quick, and he gets open. You have to be very, very explosive off the line, can get past your man in your routes in those type of offenses. It's all about explosion. It's all about separation. And I just don't think Javon Wims is that kind of guy.
Here's some more stuff from Sony Michel yesterday on with Duke Sumbel. He talked about being recruited by Coach Rick. Well, I'm going to turn you over to Coach Smart.
It wasn't too much of a big difference, but I would just say, you know, he just brought his own style of football. Coach Smart did. He raised the bar high for us, and the guys on the team just, you know, stood up to the challenge.
Boy, that sounded like a little shade to Mark Richt by not giving him shade, though. He said he raised the bar, talking about Coach Smart, and we accepted the challenge. Is he saying that Mark Richt didn't raise the bar?
Well, he didn't. That's why for years, oh my God,
he got comfortable.
Here we
man.
Go again.
He got comfortable.
Big time.
He got comfortable.
And complacent and bored and lazy and uncompetitive and all that. He said, what did he tell us when we interviewed him? He was tired or something at the end of his Georgia career. I can't remember the exact word, but he was basically out of gas and the thing had grown stale. And it would go back to the want to win, need to win thing. Mark Richt didn't need to win. He's good, making millions.
You better need to win now. We don't play them games. Tired of that nonsense. I want somebody to win $1,000 though.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
house. H-O-U-S-E. Text house right now to 72881. Again, house to 72881. That's your code word for $1,000 national signing bonus contest. If you get some weird number that calls you back, answer it. If it's a debt collector, just hang up on them. If it's somebody from Intercom that goes, hey, you just won $1,000 because you text house to 72881. Take the call. Talk to them. Give them your information. It's not a telemarketer. That means you won $1,000. Richt has got a very nice lake house out in Snellville.
Oh, thank you, John.
I haven't been there yet.
Aww.
I need to be there before you leave, and I'll see if I can break a fence as well.
Charity and me were talking the other day about getting you and Urania out and getting you out to the boathouse, hanging, drinking some vodka, and all that jazz.
It's only, what, about a $10 Uber ride from my house to your house?
Not bad at all.
Okay, I can do that.
Maybe 15.
That's cutting into my budget.
But let's hear Sony Michel. Again, great job by Dukes and Bell. They got a couple of cuts here on Pro Day, which was yesterday, and that's what this whole thing is about. So, Emo, let's play cut two, evaluating his Pro Day experience.
I think I was able to just show who I am as a person and as a football player, being able to sit in some of those meetings and just, you know, talk to coaches. Whether it was on the board or just personally. And I thought it's a pretty cool experience. It's wonderful.
He's the type of kid I want on my team. And I don't know that he goes first round. I've said, you know, with Alvin Kamara, with all the excitement that he had in New Orleans, there might be somebody that looks at Sony Michel and goes, if I can get what Alvin Kamara gave the Saints, I want him.
It will never happen. It will never happen. Alvin Kamara is a different breed.
Yeah, that dude's he's a monster. Breed.
And I'm when I heard he was at Bama and he was at Tennessee, something's not right, man. Something's especially isn't right at Tennessee.
Yeah, they had him behind Jalen Hurd. Jalen Hurd's 6'4", kind of slow, plotter back. You're letting Alvin Kamara sit there.
Kamara's the kind of guy that teams dream of hitting in the draft. In New Orleans, he got him.
Look, this is a bad comparison. Sony Michel and Alvin Kamara are different dudes. They don't even have the same body type. Mm-mm. I don't understand. Sony Michel is getting so much credit, Harry, for catching the rock when he didn't catch the rock with Georgia. And he was beating up balls in that combine. Did you not see that? Beating them up, dude. It was like John Michaels on a speed bag over here.
Pretty good.
Am I wrong?
I'm pretty good on the speed bag, to be honest.
Rick is hilarious. You're so y'all can't see him right now, but the motions that he is making as he is explaining these things are hilarious.
There's times we need to get Rick on video, to be honest with you. I need to get
you too.
I need to get you out to 9-round fitness.
You stupid Floridian.
I am a stupid Floridian. Tired of this stupid cold air. Get me some heat. I'll be able to let my legs show. That's the best part of my body. I got sexy calves.
What?
Show them cat roll.
Could you just go on to the next? Go on next.
Now look, Harry. Look at that. See those legs right there?
Sexy calves.
I do. Take a break. We come back. Coach Bud, we will not ask him if he has sexy calves, but we'll talk to him about Dennis's big night and his Arizona Wildcats falling flat. We'll talk to him next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute.
You're not tripping. It's not 10:20. It's 1:20. But Coach Bud is on this winding, meandering West Coast trip with the rest of the Atlanta Hawks. And we are the home of the Hawks, of course. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on the court with Coach Bud. Coach, good afternoon or good morning, depending on where you are. Where are you right? What are your whereabouts, Coach Bud?
We're in Sacramento, California. So it's 10:20, so I think good morning is appropriate here. I guess good afternoon to you guys. I didn't know how long you went, so you guys are still putting it in.
Yeah, we're here for another 40 minutes. So for you, Coach, we said we would change the time at any time. So no need to wake you up at 7 o'clock on the West Coast while you're playing basketball out there.
Very kind. I appreciate that.
All right, we got to ask. Dennis Schroeder the other night, 41 points. Where did that come from? I know Dennis is a really good player, but where did that 41 outburst come from?
Yeah, you know, I got to be honest with you. I did not realize, you know, kind of in the heat of the moment as the game was unfolding that, you know, he had that many. I knew he was playing well and, you know, he mixed in some threes and, you know, was getting to the rim, free throws. You know, he actually missed four free throws. You know, it's like, God, he could have had even a little bigger number. But, you know, I think he was in a good place. I thought, you know, he just made a lot of good decisions. I thought he made some great passes early, too. I think that, you know, I opened up the court and, you know, with Dwayne and Muscala making some threes. Hopefully Gobert was a little bit more removed or hesitant. Dennis was able to get to the rim and finish a lot. So, yeah, it was just a heck of a game for him. But I would say the biggest thing, you know, he asked for the switch and guarded Donovan Mitchell the last three or four minutes of the game. I think that was almost as great to see as the 41 is how he guarded the last three or four minutes against a great young player in Donovan Mitchell.
Man, Mitchell's fun to watch, and so is our guy Dennis. And, Coach, how important is it for Schroeder to have 41 in a win?
Yeah, no, it was great for the group. And, you know, we came home after the Milwaukee game, so we really, you know, felt like the start of the road trip. And, you know, to get a win like that against a team that's been playing out of their minds, I think 21 out of 23 games, and, you know, fighting for a playoff spot and a great home environment. You know, it's great for our young guys to get a win like that.
We've got Coach Bud with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach, you continue tonight against Sacramento out there on the West Coast. They've got the old man in Zach Randolph that seemingly has been in this league for 37 years. Another night for John Collins to go against a different type of veteran. How much will he guard Zach tonight?
No, so John is still kind of recovering from the ankle, and John, we've ruled him out for tonight,
okay.
So John's not going to play. But I think there's a very, very good chance that he will be recovered and ready to play tomorrow night against Golden State. So we're very hopeful that he can go tomorrow. But I think one more game probably for John, and we'll evaluate and see how he's feeling after that.
I sure hope that is the case. Coach Bud joining Rick and John here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And John mentioned Zach Randolph, a.k.a. Zebo, a.k.a. first name 20, last name 10. But how about Vince Carter? Does he not blow your mind, Coach, that this deep in his career? Coach, in the offseason for NBA TV, I am calling Summer League games with Vince Carter as an analyst. And I'm looking at this guy around 40, and I'm like, you got a mountain of money. You're going to the Hall of Fame if you never play. We got a cushy gig for you here at Turner Sports. And the guy keeps grinding and keeps dunking and keeps banging threes. Does he not blow your mind?
It is amazing what he's doing. It's just, it's really cool. And, you know, obviously he must have unbelievable genes, but I think he's a big-time pro, takes care of his body, takes care of everything. And I think still playing at a high level, you know, whether it's, you know, tonight for Sacramento, he could be playing for any team and helping any team. And I think he's invaluable to them in their locker room and practices and just a great voice for their young players. But, you know, he could still go. He's a heck of a player.
Yeah, it's amazing. We were today kind of going back through some of the NBA drafts, and I want to say he came out in, what, 98 maybe? Vince Carter?
Sounds right.
It's amazing to think
with Jameson maybe?
Yeah, he came. He was the pick right after Antoine Jameson. The fact that he's still in the league, when he was drafted, I was 100 pounds lighter and I was in college still, and this guy's still putting up numbers.
Yeah, no, it is. I'm probably like my second or third year in the league, and you know, now I'm 20-plus years or whatever it is. And yeah, no, it's impressive, you know, so I guess we should all – you know, tap into whatever he's doing. I don't know if we can, you know, I got to lose a few LBs to myself to get back down to 98 playing weight. But whatever Vince is doing, it's working.
Coach Bud joining Rick and John here on the home of the Hawks, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tough matchup. I mean, they're all tough, right, at the point guard position. It's probably the thickest and most talented position in the NBA. And De'Aaron Fox, man, can he go. I don't know if you've seen, but he has buzzkilled the Miami Heat twice this year. hit a follow flush game winner on him in Miami. And then recently they won an overtime, and he forced overtime with a bucket at the end of regulation. So what are you guys seeing in De'Aaron Fox, and how can Dennis Schroeder exploit that matchup if possible?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, he's got great speed. You know, I think the way he plays the game is pretty pure. He's a good young point guard. And, you know, it'll be, you know, I think keeping him out of the paint, keeping him, you know, where he's got to play on the perimeter and score over the top of our defense, you know, is going to be important. Just trying to keep him in front of us, which, you know, is easier said than done. And, you know, Miami's a great defensive team, and he's played well against them. He's played well against a lot of teams. So, you know, we have a great challenge. You know, it starts with Dennis, but, you know, the bigs behind him and everybody – you know, doing a great job of just, you know, hopefully keeping them out of the paint.
Coach, what have you learned down the stretch here with the, you know, you guys are obviously going through a real rebuilding year, but you've got some pieces with Dennis, as we've talked about, Torian, John, Bayes actually had a really good year until he got hurt. What have you learned with that group moving forward into years to come?
Yeah, you know, those guys that you just mentioned, you know, along with John Collins, you feel like you've got a good, you know, foundation to build from. And, you know, you've got to have good players that are going to, when you draft, and, you know, there's no doubt there's going to be, you know, a lot of attention, a lot of focus on the draft and adding players. But you've got to add them to a good group, a group that, you know, understands professionalism and, you know, competitiveness and unselfishness and all those things and can play. And, you know, I think between, you know, Dennis and Torian and John and Bayes as a veteran, you know, it's a great foundation to, you know, build from.
So, Coach, listening to Travis Schlenk, the head of basketball ops, GM of the Hawks, he goes on with John Frickie and Hugh Douglas once a week. I believe that's a Tuesday joint. But in that interview, I heard him say, you know, because they're always asking him, you know, where are you? Where are you scouting? Where are you going? What games you watching? And I love that because, trust me, Coach, I take notes. I go to mock drafts, and I'm like, okay, he's looking at this guy. He's looking at this guy. but seriously, Travis is going to be – he is on the road with you guys, I think. But he did say that he was going to be there tomorrow at Golden State, of course, where he came from. And it'll be a big reunion for Travis there with Bob Myers and Kerr and great ownership group out there. So have you talked to Travis about that and how excited he is for kind of going back home?
No, you know, I guess it's maybe kind of snuck up on us. And, you know, he is out on the road scouting so much. But I'm sure, you know, tomorrow night will be, you know, kind of special for him. And a lot of great memories, a lot of great friends. And, you know, so I'm sure he's going to, you know, look forward to that. And, you know, I think everybody from there, I'm sure, is probably really happy for him and, you know, hoping for the best for Travis as he moves forward.
Coach, before we ask you about Arizona, and we'll leave that alone, we love to get you into our pop culture questions. We did yesterday our Mount Rushmore of cars because we were at the auto show here in Atlanta and looking at some of the unbelievable cars here. If you had one or two cars that would be at the top that you'd want to get, what's your Mount Rushmore?
I don't know if I can give you the Rushmore, but I've always wanted a 64 convertible Mustang or, you know, somewhere in there, 66, 67, and that's my car. Someday I'm going to, you know, find some guy that's redone it and done it nice and get one of those.
It's coming your way, man. It's coming your way. And and Coach, I just have one more for you, and it involves Tyronn Lue. And just to back up, you know, Steve Clifford, the head coach of the Charlotte Hornets, he had to take a leave of absence for about 5 weeks. He had his own health issues, and now Tyronn Lue of Cleveland, he is on an indefinite leave of absence. He's quoted has cited anxiety, some sleep disorder stuff, and just general stress of the job. And now he's had to tap out, and he's on meds, and they're trying to get the whole thing figured out. So I'm just curious, like, your thoughts on Tyronn Lue specifically, because we all in the NBA love that dude. He's such a great guy. But just overall, the stress of that position, Coach, help us understand just how stressful it is.
Yeah, no, lots of thoughts and, you know, hoping for the best for Tyronn as he, you know, takes care of himself. And it's, you know, there's no doubt a lot of this stuff that, you know, whether it's the Coach Lue or, you know, Coach Clifford in Charlotte, and just, you know, taking care of your body, taking care of your mind, and, you know, trying to stay healthy and, you know, just deal with everything that comes with being a head coach. And there's a lot. It's a demanding position, no doubt about it. I think we all love it. I think everybody, you know, Coach Lue, Coach Clifford, they just give their heart and soul and their guts. And, you know, sometimes it just takes a toll. And so, you know, I know talking about, you know, getting rest and eating well and working out, and, you know, you just can't lose sight of how important those things are to you. And, I hope for the best for him and really for all of us. You know, I think there's a ton of respect for all 30 coaches. You know, it's we respect the work and the time and the effort, and I think we want good for everybody.
Coach, you talk about stress. I was stressed out about my brackets, and I've now thrown them away because Michigan State and Arizona is who I had in the championship game, and neither one of them are still here. What happened to your Cats?
Oh, I don't even know what to say. I think I jinxed them by talking about it on the radio in Atlanta. I'm like, God, why did I just keep my mouth shut? And they, the early exit hurt. Buffalo was was amazing. Their guards were so impressive, and I watched, I think, the whole second half. I was just dying, and I think we had a tough loss that night or something and hadn't played well. So I was just like, God, today is not the basketball gods were not good to me on that Thursday.
Coach, it was not a jinx. They got their butts kicked, man. Jinx is like a bad call on a block charge at the end of a game or something like that, man. They just weren't ready for battle, but sorry about your Cats going down, man. But Hawks and Kings tonight, Coach.
Got it. Thank you, guys. Appreciate the call.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us, and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.